Hey, it's Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves by dialing in toll-free here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And joining you in the studio tonight, it's me, Ian.
Me, Johnny Ray.
And me, Daryl.
Coming up, we didn't get to economics in one lesson last week, and I'm hoping that we'll get a chance this week. Chapter 13, Parity Prices. Never got to. We've been going chapter by chapter through the book, kind of reviewing it, talking about the concepts that are discussed there, and hopefully we can do that a little bit later on. The story that we didn't really talk about last night, but we probably should have. I just didn't want to do it because it seems like every week on the weekends there's some new crazy immigration-related story. And
well, we wound up with a couple hours of immigration calls anyway.
Right. So, what I want to do is share a headline from USA Today, and there's obviously a bunch of immigration restriction people. Let's not call them all conservatives, because I'm sure some liberals want to restrict immigration.
Yes.
But people who want to restrict immigration who are likely very upset about this headline from USA Today, which is what to do if the police come knocking on your door.
And this is just good information anyway.
That's right. Specifically what to do if immigration officers come knocking at your door. And so there's going to be a little bit more detail here than just your typical police officer encounter. Now, on Free Talk Live...
But again, it's good, and I'm guessing that you're looking at a graphic that was passed around by the ACLU.
They have that graphic
that
in the article.
I saw probably a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and I was like, this is just all-around good advice on dealing with cops.
Yep, absolutely.
And I could imagine that, some conservatives would wind up getting their panties in a bunch over this.
So we're going to see, what it is, how much of it we agree with, because we've got a lot of time logged talking about these subjects, about how to deal with the police. And one of the things that they don't mention in this, at least this graphic from the ACLU, is to record the situation, get it on the record. That's something that they don't have here that I think is awfully important. Let's get into it. Story from the USA Today. San Francisco, roundups of undocumented immigrants across the country have sent immigrant rights advocates to social media blasting out information in multiple languages on how those caught up in raids should respond. If Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agents show up at the door, the ACLU advises not opening it until agents can show a warrant signed by a judge. Ask to see it through a window or slipped under the door, says the graphic, which is available in multiple languages. ACLU, the American Civil Rights Union, or excuse me, American Civil Liberties Union. ICE administrative warrants, now this is interesting, don't allow agents to enter a home without the consent of residents. Residents can ask through the door why the agents are there and request an interpreter if they need one. If there is no warrant, ask the agents to leave information outside. If the agents force their way into the home, don't resist. Tell everyone in the residence to remain silent, says the ACLU. If you are arrested, remain silent and do not sign anything until you speak to a lawyer, says the graphic. And USA Today also includes a Spanish language version of this graphic as well. The Immigrant Defense Project, which offers legal information to immigrants and attorneys working with immigration cases, advises undocumented immigrants to have a plan in place for what they will do if they or a family member is arrested. And that includes planning who will take care of children and possibly making power of attorney arrangements so a temporary caregiver can make decisions on the children's behalf if their parents are arrested or deported. All important documents, including passports, birth certificates, marriage certificates, and medical records, should be organized and stored in a secure location. It is important that neither you nor your family members give ICE your passport, said the organization.
Now, I'm actually on the ACLU website now that they link to, they being the ACLU, that they link to in the description of this that's being passed around on Facebook. And they have a little bit more information here. They say that opening the door does not give the agents permission to come inside, but it is still safer to speak to them through the door.
Absolutely. They can be very pushy, literally, and may indeed push their way into your home if you give them even the an inch of an opportunity by opening that door.
If the agents do not speak your language, ask for an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how they will necessarily know you're asking for an interpreter if they can't understand you?
No hablo inglés. That should get it across.
That doesn't mean I want an interpreter. That just means I don't speak English.
Fair enough. But nonetheless, you aren't obligated to talk to these folks anyways. I understand.
Correct.
Now, I'm not an attorney, and that's one of the things that I might, you know, take issue with in this situation. If you do talk, then you could learn why they're there. But ultimately, if
right.
they're pounding
they
on
do
your
say,
door...
ask what they are there for.
Right. If they're pounding on your door, it's probably not anything good. Whatever it is.
Probably not.
They're probably not there to help you in any way, shape, or form. So,
and failure to understand what the police officer is saying will not prevent you from, you know, being body slammed, shot, or arrested for refusing an order. I remember there was a story from Alabama, actually, where a guy from, I think it was India, was visiting his son, walking down the street, some, you know, busybody neighbor was like, there's somebody walking through my neighborhood and I don't recognize him and he's kind of brown. And the cops show up and the cops are shouting at him. He doesn't understand what they're saying
right.
because he doesn't speak English. They body slam him into the side of a hill, you know, not a big hill, but just, you know, like a little bit of a hill
yep.
right off of the sidewalk, paralyzed him.
Jeez.
And wound up saying, well, it was his fault for not speaking English.
Yeah, so better to not put yourself within their grasp if you can avoid it.
It reminds me of Barry Cooper's advice from his YouTube-available film.
Never get busted.
Yeah, and he said that when the police show up, what his practice is to talk to them through the window and simply tell them, if you have a warrant, go ahead and break down the door. And that's that's all the words that he has for them.
Now, here's something very interesting. The ACLU actually shows examples of an order by a judge and an order by ICE.
Because the ICE administrative order does not allow them to go into the home unless the person consents, whereas the judge signed one does, I presume, yes?
Presumably. I have not looked at the 5-page document,
which is
that
why
comes from the judge, or the 2-page document from ICE.
It's likely why they are, you know, advising people to make sure they have a warrant signed by a judge.
Yes,
but I gotta say that I don't know if talking to them in any way is really a good idea. I mean, this would be interesting to hear what the ACLU says about what's the negative side of not even answering the door at all, not even coming to the door to engage in any way, shape, or form with these people. You know, what could the detriment to you be for doing that? I guess you wouldn't necessarily know who they're looking for. You wouldn't necessarily know whether or not they have a warrant, but then again, they
or
might just bust the door down.
Or if they even have the right house.
Yep, that's true.
Now, on slide 5 of what the ACLU has on their website, they do say if the agents force their way in, do not attempt to resist.
Right.
If you wish to exercise your rights, state, I do not consent to your entry or to your search of these premises. I am exercising my right to remain silent. I wish to speak with a lawyer as soon as possible.
Yeah, definitely a good idea to do all of those things. And to once you've made that statement, do not continue to speak. Don't let them goad you into saying something that you'll regret later on, because everything you say can and certainly will be used against you.
A normal person's instincts are to be helpful to their fellow man in the belief that that will help relations between them. But federal agents, immigration agents, police officers, they're much more likely to have the lust for domination. They're not like normal people, and they'll use your words against you.
Correct. In fact, good news, in the very end of the piece here from USA Today, there's another group called United We Dream that focuses on youth, and it does recommend people record everything that happens. Take notes of badge numbers, numbers of agents, so on. 855-450-FREE. More about the raids coming up. You can share your thoughts. It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll-free. Take control of the airwaves. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Talking about advice from the ACLU, as well as another group that I had not heard of before tonight, United We Dream, a group that focuses on immigrant youth. And some of the stuff that's going on around social media, sharing images of Know Your Rights information, which is excellent. And it's good for anybody, not just people who are immigrants.
Yes.
But anybody who might be encountering the police, either knocking at their door, pulling them over. You actually found, Daryl, that the ACLU has several Know Your Rights cards, all dealing with different circumstances.
They do. And these are currently pre-order. Expected to begin shipping February 20th.
Okay.
And I've got the Know Your Rights Stopped by Police, Immigration Agents, or FBI. And
that's in it's in a car. Stopped in a car?
They have stopped in a car.
Okay.
If the police come to your house, if you're walking down the street, if you're arrested.
Wow.
If you believe that your rights have been violated. And
there's
going
to be a lot of crossover between some of these, but is good to have the information.
Yeah, and it's on a card that folds up, so it makes two folds and then fits into the wallet.
So wait, is it different cards for each, or one card that has all of that information?
The one that I just mentioned is one big card.
Okay.
And imagine something. I'm holding a wallet card thing in my hand right now for anybody on the webcam. Imagine something that's four times this long, so it would have two folds and then fit into your wallet. So it's got
all of that is on there.
Stopped in your car, if you're asked about your immigration status, if police come to your house, if you're arrested, and then if your rights have been violated, all of that on one card. They have this in English and Spanish. They have other cards of if you are stopped by police for filming or photographing. If you are stopped during a demonstration, if you're on a college campus, so they have things specific to college campuses. And yeah, these are absolutely
really
amazing. And they have a variety pack where it's a total of 30 cards, so it's some of each. Mm-hmm. Instead of you saying, well, I need 12 of this and 12 of that, I don't want to buy two 25 packs, get a couple of the variety packs, and then you should have all of what you need plus
more. ACLU.org?
Shop.aclu.org is where you will find all of their merch, and then click the Know Your Rights.
Toll-free number tonight, if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Let's talk to Tom in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live, listening online via freetalklive.com.
Yeah, Go ahead. It's about Black History Month. Now, let's say master goes down to a slave market and wants to buy some slaves. Looks over, what's good for business. And here's a couple of persons, a 10-year-old boy, maybe. Master could teach you, get that one taught carpentry, and that would be an investment. A 10-year-old boy learning carpentry in a few years would be worth more money. And he's being sold with his mother, who's 25. And master really likes her because she's pretty. And so he buys them and puts the boy to work learning carpentry. And he's got other ideas for the mother because she's pretty, and she's his slave, and he can get away with whatever he wants. Now, when the boy finds out what master did to mommy, that is the origin of a vocabulary word. And see, it's not what anybody did to his own mother. This is what some people don't fully realize. That's the origin of that vocabulary word, is what master did to mommy. The boy saying, oh, master's such a dirty, rotten, lousy. And that's why you hear that vocabulary word more in the ghetto among the descendants of slaves than you would hear it in the suburbs among the descendants of the slave drivers.
Are you talking about...
He's talking about the MF word. And no, I hear that all over the place. Doesn't matter the skin tone.
Yeah, I've never heard any kind of claim that there's some less amount of the use of that phrase anywhere. I mean, it's pretty ubiquitous.
Well, anyway, that's what it actually meant. That's where it actually was from. From what I've told, it has nothing to do with what anybody did to their own mother. It's what Master did to Mommy, and that's what creates so much anger in that word.
I think in the 60s, guys, MF-er was often appended to the end of honky. Honky MF-er, is that right, Tom? I remember that from a Stephen King novel, anyway.
No, Tom's right about this, then. So you're giving us a little history lesson? Okay, I guess that's it. Thanks for the call tonight. There you go. You learn something new every night. 855-450-FREE is our number.
Now, the question is whether or not we actually learned anything or if he just made something up, because a lot of people do call in and make things up.
Well, let's see what Hung Like Jesus has to say. Hung, did you hear that last call?
Yeah, but that's not what I have to talk about. Okay. I heard that.
Well, I mean, as the resident black caller at the moment, what do you think about his assertion that MF-er is more used in urban neighborhoods? I don't know if I believe it.
Well, you know, of course, I was born and raised in urban neighborhoods, so of course.
I don't know where you were born and raised, actually.
Well, of course, that's where I was.
I wouldn't have presumed that you were simply because you're black, but what do you think?
You know, I really didn't hear the first part of it in...
He was saying the term MF-er was invented in response to a slave master forcing himself on a young slave's mother in the past, and extrapolated from that claim that the term is used more in urban neighborhoods than elsewhere.
You know, so many things come out of slavery. That could be the case. Yeah. I've never heard that.
You never heard that one. Okay.
No, I've never heard it before.
So what were you calling about tonight?
Anyway, it seems that I didn't hear it because I don't listen to him anymore. But it seems that Alex Jones made a proclamation that he would die for or he was ready to die for Donald Trump. I didn't hear it. It's just
really,
yeah.
When was this week or during the campaign?
No, this was recent. It was last week sometime.
Okay,
I'm thinking Thursday or Friday. Anyway, I was also when I heard that. I was listening to David Pakman's show, and he had relayed a story about when he had met you and Mark at the Talkers Convention, and he said that Alex Jones, all four of you were in a conversation together, and that Alex Jones was a completely different person when he wasn't his alter ego, whoever that is on the radio. And I was just wondering if you could bear any kind of witness to that.
Well, I don't recall the conversation, but I do remember the particular Talkers event. There's a yearly, for those that don't know, there's a yearly gathering of talk radio professionals at New York City. Usually it's in Manhattan, and Alex Jones was their keynote speaker there, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago or something like that. And so it was the first time I'd met Alex Jones. We had been on his show previous to this, so he was familiar with Free Talk Live. We were familiar with him. We'd had him on our show. He had had us on his show. And I'll continue here in a moment. If you can stick with us, please do. Hung, one moment. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves. It's Free Talk Live. We just got our new Rye Guys t-shirts. I chose the Power Corrupts shirt and the I'm Already Against the Next War shirt. These quality shirts look good and feel good, and they feature clever, thought-provoking designs to promote freedom, peace, and healthy skepticism of modern mythologies. The Rye Guys donate a portion of proceeds to antiwar.com and the Future of Freedom Foundation. Enter coupon code FTL at checkout to get 15% off your order. That's ryguys.com, WRYguys.com, ryguys.com. It's a Rye wit for today's shit. Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the show. Toll-free number for you to take control of the airwaves is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
We've got Skype as well. That's where our current caller, Hung Like Jesus, is on the line. We're going to get right back to him. But if you want to join us on Skype, you can. Just send a contact request first. If you haven't ever done that, you do need to send that in. And then we'll approve you, and it'll be easy from that point forward for you to call us on Skype. So Skype username for you is lrn.fm, and I also want to let you know about HostGator. You want to get a website going for yourself, maybe a blog perhaps, something for your business? Well, HostGator makes it easy. If that's one of the reasons that you've been holding off is because of the complexity, well, HostGator has a simple, one-click, easy installation for WordPress. 24/7 over the phone or live chat tech support, 99.99% uptime rating, and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. You get it for 50% off by using our URL. You go to hostgator.com/FTL. That's hostgator.com/FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get 50% off their hosting regular prices. Hostgator.com/FTL. As we go back to Hung Like Jesus, he is on the line with us on Skype. Now, Hung, I actually found the clip that you're talking about where Alex Jones, who's a very popular talk show host, very popular on the internet. He's also on quite a few radio stations. We've had him on in the past here on Free Talk Live. He's had us on, but it's been many years. It's probably been several years since we've been on his show, maybe even more than that. And just before we go on and continue the discussion with you, Hung, I'm just going to play this clip real fast here. You won't be able to hear it, so just bear with us, but everybody else listening will be, just because of the way I've got this studio set up.
Bald,
so here it is.
And known him and a friend, I guess, for 20 years. I've been interviewing him 21 years, maybe friends the last 10. But it's not the same as it is with Trump. Trump is so fire-breathing, so energetic, so cunning, so real, and he's having results so amazing that it just makes me be endeared to Trump. I'm ready to die for Trump at this point. And I'm already ready to die for America. It's the same feeling I have for America.
I'm ready to die for Trump at this point, he says. And so you called in tonight, Hung, to ask about the real Alex Jones, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd heard from the David Pakman show. He's a progressive talk show host. Haven't seen David in a while, but we know him from these different industry conventions and kind of being newer to the talk radio game. That's kind of how we got to know him. And he referred to a conversation that Mark, myself, and Alex Jones and David Pakman all apparently had at Talkers. I don't remember the conversation, but I do remember meeting Alex Jones, and I felt like he was the same person. I felt like he was the same character that you see. He certainly was in character for his keynote speech. Now, I've seen people break their character. So like Art Bell, for instance, when I saw him speak, He was receiving like a Lifetime Achievement Award at one of the talk radio conventions that we went to many years ago, and he was completely not the character that you hear him play on the radio. In fact, he was making fun of his callers. He was just, he treats it like a show, and he's putting on a certain persona for that show. So with Art Bell, I think there are definitely two different personas. But with Alex Jones, he was in character the entire time. At least that's how I felt about it. And again, I don't remember the exact conversation that Pakman would have been referring to, but talking to somebody about, when you're at one of these conferences, they have like mixers, so they'll have like an open bar where people can go and get a few drinks, and there's an hour where people sort of roam around and talk to one another. And talking to somebody in a situation like that, they probably won't be as bombastic, right in front of another person as they would be behind a microphone. But I didn't feel for a moment like Alex Jones on the air was someone else. That's my impression. I don't know. Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, I was just wondering if it was true or not. And if it was, because I don't think Alex Jones is the same person that he is, that he portrays to be. It's no way someone who's been preaching against the establishment for so long can just be such a a fan is not even the correct word for it. I don't even know what you would call it.
You mean how he has joined up with the establishment, basically, that he had been so anti-establishment for so long, and now that it's Trump, now all of a sudden he's signing up. He's ready to die for him.
Right.
Well, one of the funniest Alex Jones memes that I saw was a picture of Alex Jones with a quote from the end of 1984,
mm-hmm.
where it said the battle was over, the battle with himself. He loved Big Brother.
As far as like who Alex Jones really is, I don't have an answer.
He's Bill Hicks in disguise.
Well, that's an interesting theory. Bill Hicks, the comedian from the 1990s who supposedly died of like lung cancer or something,
right.
Looks a lot like Alex Jones. They both used to live in Austin, Texas, and they both used to know one another apparently as well.
I want to, you know, and also, what is the what do you think is the psychology behind people who can who can be a fan of Alex Jones and then also also get on this bandwagon with the establishment, you know, just as strong?
Well, I mean, a lot of people are looking to be told what to do. They're looking for a leader. I mean, many of the people who listen to Alex Jones are kind of like his acolytes, right? Like if Alex Jones says, buy Calben soap, they go out and they buy Calben soap. If we do that stuff, our listeners are like, yeah, why? What's so great about it? Why is it the best soap? You know, and that's what you should be like, right? Like you should question the things that the people behind microphones say. You should be critical. You should be curious.
But he's got thousands of government documents
that show Calben's the best. You know, that's just it's a different kind of attitude. It's a different kind of audience. And talk radio tends to attract and propel personalities like Alex Jones. That's why most shows are this sort of single cult of personality kind of show. It's the Rush Limbaugh show, the Alex Jones show. You know, whatever the name of the host is in the name of the show. And the show is all about what that host thinks. And the show is all about the host's opinions. And the listeners of the show are always like Alex's army or what. I don't know what Alex calls his listeners, but there's always stuff like that, right? There's so-and-so's, you know, squad or army, or they always have some kind of group name for the individuals who follow the show.
You call them his lackeys, is what I call them. Anyway,
but you know, so the attitude is, I think that people, even if they're
info warriors, I think really? Is the term, because he's got infowars.com. Yeah. So I think
I buy that. That sounds that makes sense. So you know, people are looking for a leader. A lot of people are. You know, we on this show, we want to believe that people are independent. We want to believe that people are individuals. And they want to make their own decisions for themselves. But for a lot of people, they just want to be told what to do. I wish it weren't true, go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know, I used to listen to Alex. This has been, I would say, it's probably been over 10 years now ago since I've listened to Alex Jones. And I was, I listened every day of the entire show. But it becomes, it comes a time when.
Isn't that 4 hours or five? What is this, 4 hours or 5 hours?
I would listen to it at work. So I was at work, so it was no big deal to listen to it. I had it on my headphones. But you come to a point where you just start to you snap out of it, you start to think for yourself, and then you look at all the things that he says. You know, none of this stuff is happening, and I don't see any evidence of most of the stuff he's saying. So you know, this must be BS. It's the same thing with religion. You know, you get to a certain point in religion, which is not, you know, I can't go along with this anymore. It's just crazy.
And that's good for you.
I don't know why some people don't snap out of it. You know, they just, like you said, people want to be led. So
yeah,
I guess
it's comfortable to be led. It's comfortable to be told what to do or what to believe. I mean, ultimately,
to quote Cypher from The Matrix, ignorance is bliss.
Right. He wanted to get back into The Matrix because
give me the blue pill. Yeah. Let me just, you know, I know the stake isn't real, but just doesn't let matter. Me think that it is.
Yeah. So I mean, to some extent, that's why the world is the way that it is. You know, why we have governments, is because people want to be told what to do. Right. And unfortunately, we're in the minority. People who are individualists, people who believe in freedom and liberty, being able to make decisions for ourselves, we are a small minority, which is, of course, why the New Hampshire migration of libertarians makes the most sense, because then we can actually have a measurable impact on the society around us. Good call tonight, Hung. I appreciate you making it. Thanks for the call, dude. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Now, is Alex Jones getting behind Trump because he feels comfortable with a leader, or is it just... Yeah, it's Free Talk Live, Sunday edition of the program. Of course, you can take control of the airwaves to bring up anything that's on your mind. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
If you appreciate the work we do here on Free Talk Live, you can support the show by shopping with us. You go to shop.freetalklive.com and enter Amazon or some of the other stores that are there through those links. Free Talk Live. We'll get a cut of your purchase. It's that simple. You do the shopping anyway, so you might as well send a portion of the proceeds to us by going to shop.freetalklive.com. That's shop.freetalklive.com. So we started out talking about knowing your rights when dealing with the police, when the police come knocking, specifically thanks to the ACLU putting out some great Know Your Rights information out there, not just on social media, but USA Today even printing a story, basically taking point by point the ACLU flyer. So very good info. Then we had Hung Like Jesus call in and bring up Alex Jones, who has now said on the air that he's ready to die for Donald Trump. And it led to a discussion about, is this the real Alex Jones? Because I didn't watch it. And I know Cody O'Connor did from Off the Air Live, but apparently Joe Rogan had Alex Jones on his show recently. Joe Rogan does a podcast. He's a comedian, and he had Alex on. And I guess Alex Jones like smokes pot during this thing. And
I did see some clips to where apparently he took a couple hits off of a joint and was drinking whiskey.
Right. Which, you know, it wouldn't be surprising to learn about somebody. It's not uncommon that people smoke marijuana and drink alcohol. So, you know, Alex Jones
but
does
I
too.
I think Alex's whole shtick, or at least part of his thing, and maybe I'm, you know, getting bad information, but I thought he was, you know, like one of these straight edge sort of don't drink, don't smoke, don't do any drugs sort of people.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never actually... I don't listen to his show, so I can't really say for sure what he represents himself as during the Alex Jones show and if that was somehow different from how he was representing himself on the Joe Rogan show.
But maybe, I know he does not represent himself as a libertarian, but some libertarians try to represent Alex Jones as a libertarian.
I think he has used the term at some point to describe himself, but maybe you know more. If you want to weigh in here on who the real Alex Jones is, you're welcome to.
He's definitely much more of a constitutionalist.
Yeah, sure. And the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Let's go to Andy in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Andy.
Hi. I want to talk about Alex Jones.
Yes, sir.
I'm a long-time libertarian since 1996. I started listening to Alex Jones back in 2001, not long after 9/11. And I've been following him for a long time, listening to him on and off for years. And, you know, sometimes I go through periods of times where I listen every day, and then other times, you know, I just listen once in a while. But
is Daryl, anyway, before you I'm go on with why you're calling, is Daryl right in his speculation that Jones represents himself as some sort of straight edge person?
No. No. He's admitted, I mean, he said several times that he smoked marijuana before and that he's drank alcohol.
Yep.
And, you know, he doesn't think drug abuse is a good idea. And he smoked marijuana like as a youngster. And I don't think he's done it much since then. But no, that is totally false.
Apparently he did it about 2 weeks ago with Joe Rogan.
Sure. I'm not surprised. There's a video clip of him online with Doug Stanhope.
Right.
And he opened up for Doug Stanhope and came out and did a political rant.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's actually pretty good. And anyway, he later admits that he had been drinking before he did the political rant, so he's kind of amped up. So, no, he doesn't really promote himself as, you know, holier than thou.
Okay.
Also, he has called himself a libertarian on multiple occasions, and he's even embraced anarcho-capitalist ideas before. And so...
well, apparently he's put those aside.
Interesting. But also, Bill Maher calls himself a libertarian.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think Alex Jones has. I personally would consider Alex Jones to be a libertarian myself. I do not consider Bill Maher to be a libertarian. But regardless of that, I think Alex Jones has put out a lot of good material over the years, and I don't really agree with him jumping on the Donald Trump bandwagon. But keep in mind that he didn't start out supporting Donald Trump. He was actually supporting Rand Paul. And it was after Rand Paul campaign started crashing and he went out of the primaries that he, you know, started getting behind Donald Trump. And he did so with reservations. He was saying the whole time that he had reservations about Trump. And even after Trump got elected, he said that if Trump, you know, gets in office and starts doing a lot of bad things, that he'll abandon him. So, you know, we'll see if that happens.
So let me ask this question, because you said that you've been listening to Alex Jones since about 2001. Who did Jones support in the 2004 presidential election?
Michael Badnarik.
Okay. And also, in 2008, I know that he had thrown some support behind Ron Paul, but who did he support in the general election?
2008, I don't believe he supported anybody in the general election. He didn't trust Bob Barr, and I think he may have supported Chuck Baldwin, but Baldwin was not on the ballot in Texas, so he did not vote in 2008. And 2012, he actually endorsed Gary Johnson, and he might have endorsed Gary Johnson this time if Gary Johnson hadn't turned out to be such a butthead, which I kind of figured from the get-go. I was a Gary Johnson skeptic from day one, but the Libertarian Party totally screwed up in the last three presidential
elections. They sure have.
We haven't had anybody that I would even consider to be a legitimate libertarian at all since 2004, I think when the Libertarian Party is not even putting out Libertarian candidates for people to vote for, well, they're going to look for alternatives.
They will. That's true.
And I think Alex Jones is kind of just basically playing the lesser of two evils game. He hated the Clintons. He's hated the Clintons since back in the 90s when he first, got politically active.
Do you think that Jones is representing his true beliefs, or is he just doing, is he behind Trump as much as he is because it's profitable to be?
I don't know. Maybe. I met Alex Jones in person one time at an event, and he struck me as being for real.
I talked to
him briefly, and I saw him interacting with other people. Also, I was in Texas several years ago, and I met somebody that knows him. And I know this person actually knows him. And anyway, I asked him if Alex Jones is for real, or if that's the way he really acts. And he told me yes, that the way Alex Jones acts is not an act. That's the real him.
That's what I think, too. That was based on my experience of briefly meeting him at the talk radio conference. Hey, Andy, thanks for your input tonight, man.
I have a couple more things to
say. Oh, sure. Go ahead quickly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Alex Jones has promoted a lot. Like I said, I'm not really on board with his Trump thing, but I don't want to throw the guy under the bus yet because he's promoted jury nullification, which I think is a litmus test issue,
Okay.
He's also promoted getting rid of the Federal Reserve. He's promoted ending the drug war, gun rights, ending the income tax. He was really big behind Ron Paul. I don't know if he endorsed Harry Brown, but I know he said good things about Harry Brown. And
that's
so,
the Libertarian presidential candidate.
Like I said,
in 2000.
Yeah, I don't want to throw the guy under the bus.
No, and I don't intend to.
Let me ask a question.
Gary Johnson supporters under the bus too,
Let me ask a question about, you said Alex Jones has supported ending the drug war.
Yeah.
Is he doing so kind of the same way Gary Johnson did, of if we tax and regulate cannabis, then the drug war ceases to exist, even though everything else is illegal? Or is Alex Jones saying, get rid of the DEA completely and everything should be able to be sold at CVS?
He was saying get rid of the drug war completely.
Okay.
Now, he might take a compromise position or something and say, okay, yeah, if we're going to legalize it, the legislature's probably going to tax it. But no, he's not in the same ballpark of a Gary Johnson. He was talking about a total end to the war on drugs.
No, okay. I think on the whole, Alex Jones is probably one of the more libertarian talk show hosts in the United States. He's not, the most principled, but, they
Correct.
Can't all be that way. They can't all be on Free Talk Live.
Throw the guy under the bus yet because I'm not a throw the baby out with the bathwater guy, and if I threw Alex Jones under the bus, I'd have to throw out every Gary Johnson supporter under the bus too.
Sure. No, I agree, and I don't think that we're trying to throw anyone under the bus. We were asked the question tonight of, is he the real Alex Jones? And my opinion is he is. I believe that based on the conversations that I had with him at Talkers, and specifically his speech, his keynote speech. He was full on Alex Jones, and didn't care what people thought. Said what he what you expected Alex Jones to say in an address like that, and didn't at all break from his character. Despite the fact that what he said would not have endeared him to many that were watching his speech, so he definitely wasn't there to try to pander or make friends with the people in the audience. So I really felt like he was being true to himself. Hey, thanks for the call, Andy.
Thanks, brother. Okay.
Appreciate it, man. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. But, and again, he's probably more bombastic on the air than if you are sitting down with him at dinner or something like that. But I think that his beliefs are what he represents them to be. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live. Hour 2 coming up. The Free State Project has reached its goal of 20,000 liberty lovers who've pledged to move to New Hampshire and get active to achieve liberty in our lifetime. Perhaps you're trying to figure out what part of New Hampshire should be your destination. If so, consider Keene. You'll find more than 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com. Keene is famous for its historic, publicity-generating activism, as well as being the Liberty Media capital of the world. It's home to freekeene.com, New Hampshire's destination for liberty activism, news, and opinion. For years, we've been compiling over 150 reasons to move to Keene at move.freekeene.com, where you'll learn about some of what's happening here and what makes Keene a great place to live. If you love liberty, you'll probably enjoy anywhere you end up in the Shire. But do your due diligence first. Please visit move.freekeene.com for the full list of over 150 reasons to move to Keene. That's move.freekeene.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Launching into the second hour of this live Sunday edition of the program. Still to come, economics in one lesson. We are going to hit up chapter 13. We didn't get a chance to do it last week, so hopefully we will do that tonight with you in the studio. It's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
And a lot of other stuff on tap if we get the chance to discuss, including California, the Calexit over at Salon.com, which is a lefty website. They're saying an independent California isn't that wacky of an idea. Maybe people are starting to warm up to this idea. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. Let's go to Mike. He's in West Virginia listening on, I guess you listen via podcast. Welcome, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you doing this evening?
Excellent, sir. What's on your mind?
I want to bring up the story. I don't know if you've covered it already, but the Detroit story about the woman who was forced to have her baby on the prison floor. Have you seen that?
Oh, my goodness, no.
Yeah, I saw that story. She was in for, you go ahead.
Okay, so basically, I read this in two different articles on this, and basically what happened is this woman is a first-time offender who was driving on a suspended license. The judge ordered her to be locked up in prison on $10,000 bond.
Wow.
And she couldn't afford to post that kind of bond, so she was 8 months pregnant when she went into the jail. On three different occasions, she told the prison guards that she was in labor, and they took her to the medical bay and sent her back to her cell, telling her that she's lying and that they would know if she was in labor. The third time she came into the medical bay, she was bleeding from her privates, and there was blood running down her leg. They still sent her back to her cell, and she ended up actually having the baby on the floor of the prison cell. Now, it actually gets better, Ian. The sheriff of the Macomb County, this is in Detroit, Macomb County Sheriff Anthony Wickersham, he actually defended the actions of his deputies and said that they did nothing wrong. And he actually went as far as to say that we saved taxpayers money by not having this woman see a doctor when it comes to what happened here.
It's insane.
So, I mean, this is so insane, and, you know, I'm just wondering, where are the protests when it comes to this? I mean, people are protesting what bathrooms people should use. This is an actual aggression against this woman's life and freedom, and no one cares.
And make
and
him,
this
make
sheriff,
him,
go ahead, Ian.
Macomb County Jail has a history, I think, just from this year, this past, not this year, but maybe last year, the year before, of people dying in jail who had been asking for medical treatment.
Yes, you're absolutely right. There was two previous cases. One of them was a person who was in jail for failure to pay child support. She died in that jail while serving a 30-day sentence. And another gentleman was in jail for a traffic violation who also died while serving a 30-day sentence. So this is a real nice concentration camp they're running over there. And, you know, the original charge for which this woman's license was suspended was she failed to pay a parking ticket.
Wow.
So, now, I hate to point out the irony of how the sheriff said that he saved taxpayers money by not having her see a doctor. You know, you could save taxpayers money by not exploiting them on parking tickets.
And not arresting them and throwing them in jail for an unpaid parking ticket.
This is terrifying.
Especially if this is a first offender. This is a first offense.
Right. Look, so you asked, where are the protesters? And there may indeed be some people who are upset enough to, you know, complain to the city council or the state or whoever. But you're right. This isn't going to motivate the mass number of people that national politics is, for instance. And sad but true, in my opinion, one of the reasons for this is because that most people don't give a whit about the people who are in jail.
Because they're criminals.
Because, right, there's bad people in there. You know, even though we know that jails are filled with a lot of violent or nonviolent people, a lot of victimless criminals, a lot of people
The jails are also filled with violent people. Those people have the badges that say corrections officer.
Right.
The other irony here is that most people who are pro-police, they tend to be, you know, the pro-lifers on the Republican side of things. So, I mean, how do they reconcile this with their pro-life agenda, which, you know, go ahead and have your baby on the prison floor. Yeah. We don't care about that.
That's a great point.
Don't have an abortion.
Right. That's a really good point, because as though the baby is in some way... obviously, it's tied to the mother, but as though the baby has some kind of
guilt
responsibility, right? Like, oh, you're that woman's baby? Well, we don't care about the circumstances in which you're born. I mean, obviously, I think you make a great point, and I think that if there are any pro-lifers out there who want to comment, they're welcome to join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. I know you're one of them, right, Darren?
Another irony is that so many people that call themselves pro-life have absolutely no problem using
the
criminal justice system to execute people or the military to bomb people.
Right.
So they're only
hypocrisy.
Pro-life for babies that haven't
been
born.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that most people don't want freedom. They just want their brand of tyranny.
Yep. Yes. I think you're right about that. Thanks for bringing that up. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I say one more thing real quick?
Yep.
You know, I'm failing to see the difference between what happened here and the what the Nazis did in the concentration camps. You know, I agree it's not to the same extent, but we're traveling down the same road. And, you know, for all the people who are like, well, not all cops are bad. You know, they're just doing their job. Well, not all Nazis were bad, and they were just doing their job. That didn't hold up in the Nuremberg trials.
Nuremberg Principle 4. Basically, in plain English, said, I'm just doing my job is not a valid excuse.
Exactly. And that didn't hold up then, and it should not hold up now. And I'm stunned that there's no protest about this, but, you know, we'll protest the bathroom usage.
Last time we protested at the jail, a dozen people got arrested out here in Keene, New Hampshire.
I'm still baffled by the fact that some legislators decided it was important enough to try to make laws about who goes to the bathroom where.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thanks
for your time tonight, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Go ahead, Johnny Ray.
I was looking at a story. I was on clickondetroit.com regarding Mike's story, and this woman, Jessica Preston, who was the subject of his comments, was pulled over. The reason the officer pulled her over was because she had a rosary hanging from her rearview mirror.
Dare she?
Yeah, so that
does that mean
was,
she's an immigrant or something like that? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, his reasoning was that it obstructed her view.
Oh, my God.
I've heard those claims before that anything, even if it's an air freshener, anything dangling from a rearview mirror is technically probable cause for a police officer to pull you over claiming that your view has been obstructed.
And so that just what that suggests to me is that this is a jurisdiction where, I mean, it's all adding up, the deaths in the jail, and this, she was pulled over because a rosary beads hanging from her rear view. Yeah, corruption, and just trying to get as many collars as possible for the revenue that it provides. And the excessive bail for the offense that she was charged with.
The whole driving while suspended, they treat that with some serious harshness here in New Hampshire, and I know other states are the same way. New Hampshire is a great place. It is the freest of all the 50 states, but there's some serious problems here, just like there are anywhere, and driving while suspended is one of the most serious. I mean, there are a lot of people who go to jail, if not prison, for just simply driving to work. When I was in jail for civil disobedience for 58 days on a 90-day sentence, there was a guy in there who was there for a year minimum year sentence because it was, you know, driving
mandatory
while suspended.
Minimum.
Right. He had done it, you know, a couple of times or a few times, and he had had a $50 fine or something that he got in the 90s that he'd never paid, and ultimately that was what led to the suspension and so on and so forth. He was just going to work. It wasn't like he was driving drunk or driving dangerously. He was just trying to go to work in the morning, trying to support his family.
And the thing that I find the most baffling is there are these mandatory minimum sentences where it's the legislature dictating to the judge, here's what you must do. But
right.
Then when people say we need to, you know, change the wording that the judge says when he gives jury instructions, oh, well, the legislature can't tell the judge what to do. But you're already telling him what to do.
Yep. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can take control of the airwaves, whether you want to talk about the dismal condition of American jails or whatever's on your mind. It goes here on Free Talk Live. Yeah. Free Talk Live. Join us right here, live Sunday edition of the program. We'll take your calls about anything you want to discuss. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we were talking about this disturbing story. Somebody called in to bring up a sick story that comes out of a Detroit jail where a woman was put in jail for the dastardly crime of driving while license suspended. First offender, nonetheless, sentenced to a jail term. And during the 14 days, apparently, that she was scheduled to be in the jail, she had a baby. And she had a couple of times where she was in labor and they didn't care. And then she was in labor again, blood dripping down her leg. They didn't care. Sent her back to her cell. She gave birth right there on the cell floor. Sheriff defending it 100%, defending the actions of his jail guards 100%. Just an absolutely insane story that shows the level of callousness that can be shown in these facilities towards other human beings. And this scrapes, you know, the surface of it. There's a lot more. There's a lot of stuff that happens in these facilities that never goes beyond the walls. The people who get out can tell their stories, but they'll only really be listened to by their close friends. Ultimately, people don't care about what happens to folks in jail. I remember the debate here in Keene, New Hampshire, years ago when they built a new jail. There was one out in a town called Westmoreland, which is a little town to the west of Keene. Keene is the county seat for Cheshire County, New Hampshire. It's the southwestern county in New Hampshire. And so the proposal was to get rid of the old jail, which was built a long time ago, and build a whole new facility in Keene. And the proposed location in Keene was right on the main drag, one of the main routes coming into Keene, Route 101. It would have been very visible, and is, that because that's where they ended up building it. But I remember the calls to talk radio, which is kind of a look into how people think about this. The calls into talk radio, the local talk radio show, were basically of the mindset of, well, we don't want to have to look at it. It'll be right up there on that hill where we'll all have to drive by and be reminded that this jail exists. Be reminded that there are, you know, people who are in there. No, let's keep it out in the middle of nowhere where you have to drive 20 minutes into the middle of nowhere to actually go and visit somebody who's in that jail. Let's keep it way out there because we don't want to have to actually think about it on a regular basis. We don't even like to talk about thinking about it on a regular basis here. It's disturbing to even discuss this topic, was kind of the attitude that I heard from people when they were calling local talk radio about this. And that, to me, is just the indication that people don't care about those folks out in jail. It's a very slim amount of people who care about people who are in jail. There's the people who are directly connected, so family, you know, mom, dad, lovers of the person who is actually being held in the jail. They care for that moment about the people in that facility. And then there's a couple of interest groups, you know, like there's a couple of criminal justice reform interest groups like the ACLU. And then there's another one here, Citizens for Criminal Justice Reform or something like that here in New Hampshire that do some work to try to make the criminal justice system more humane than it currently is. But besides those dedicated activists and the direct family members, most people just write them off. They just figure that, well, that's where the bad people are kept, and you don't want to go there, and or you certainly don't want to help anybody who's up there, because if they're in that jail, they must be bad. But when you actually talk to Rick Van Wickler, who's the jail, essentially the warden, they call him the superintendent, the jail superintendent at Cheshire County, he's actually a member of law enforcement, what was called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. They changed their name recently.
Law Enforcement Action Partnership.
Yeah. He's actually, you know, on the scale of jail wardens, a pretty decent one. Like, he's a person who I think has compassion to some extent for the people who are kept in his facility. His compassion rubs off to some extent on the staff and the decisions that are made as far as hiring staff at that jail. When I was in there, never felt in any way threatened by any of the staff of that jail, and I know that's not the case in a lot of jails. So, you know, kudos to the operations of that particular facility. But when you talk to that guy, when you talk to Rick Van Wickler, and he's, by the way, the chairman of the board now at LEAP, when you talk to him about who's in the jail, like, what's the breakdown? What percentage of the jail is, let's say, drug users? It's usually like 25 to 40%. Drug users, drug dealers, non-violent offenders. That doesn't even include the people who are in there for driving. Driving while license suspended and things like that. Other non-violent things. Possession of cannabis. Sales of cannabis. So, you know, you start breaking down the types of crimes, supposedly, that are being held in that jail, it's more than half, in my opinion, at any given time that are probably not violent and do not need to be in there. Now, of course, he can't just go and cut them loose, or they'll put him in jail. You know, I've asked him this before. Why can't you just cut them loose? Well, he'll get charged criminally, and then he'll end up behind bars. So, ultimately, he's got to do what he can within the structure that he is working in to try to make it as, you know, as beneficial of an experience as it can be, considering that it's jail, and most wardens or superintendents probably don't put that that level of effort in, because they are probably of the mindset that these are criminals and that they should be treated as such. And it's sad, it's tragic, and it's going to take a sea change in beliefs as far as making those making people more aware of how these people are treated.
Ian, from the same Click on Detroit article that I was looking at before. On June 27th, 2014, David Stojcevski, Stojcevski, died inside the Macomb County Jail. Mr. Stojcevski was behind bars to serve a 30-day sentence for failing to appear in court on a traffic ticket for careless driving. He lost nearly 50 pounds in 17 days.
Whoa.
And died from withdrawal from doctor-prescribed medication.
They wouldn't give him access to.
His last 10 days are on video as jail and medical staff members watched him twitch and seize naked on the cell floor until his body was too weak to take another breath.
Wow. That's sick. Let's go to Jeff in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live. Jeff, go ahead.
That woman who had the child in the jail, she should sue the daylights out of the whole bunch, whoever's involved with that. That would help them save money, since they wanted to save money. Of course, like you said, they weren't saving money by putting her in there. And also, she had a rosary, which meant she's probably Catholic, therefore probably also pro-life. So those are some of my observations.
Well, suing the jail might help her out, but it's probably not going, if she wins, but it's probably not going to really change how the jail structure works.
So the sheriff also, maybe, you know, whoever, like I say, anyone, if possible, that is involved, you know.
Yeah, I mean, by all means, if she can find the legal assistance to do something like that, I don't think you're suggesting a bad thing. I'm skeptical that that's going to have any kind of long-term success. So, you know, kudos to her if she can actually get a settlement that'll certainly help lessen the blow of the horrifying experience that she's been through, but it will likely not result in any kind of permanent changes to the jail experience there. May or may not even result in the warden being blown out the door. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, Jeff. You know, consider me a skeptic as far as reforming this particular system from the inside. I think that one of the best ways that you can do it is to end victimless crimes. And unfortunately, you know, that way, at the very least, if jail's going to be a horrifying experience, it should only be that for people who have committed horrifying acts.
Yes.
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, but there are ways that you can, you know, make jails a little bit better. And obviously, Rick Van Wickler from Cheshire County can enlighten you on that. What do you shop for that you could otherwise buy at Amazon? Pretty much everything, right? Amazon has competitive pricing and they deliver, and that's a big plus. If you could plan ahead in your shopping, would you be interested in saving up to 33%? There's a catch. You have to do your shopping in Bitcoin. But imagine those savings. It's like a huge raise. All you have to do is go to saveitpurse.com. We've saved thousands, and you can too. Plan ahead and save. Saveitpurse.com. Hey, it's Free Talk Live, live Sunday edition of the program. Whether it's out of control and outrageous jail conditions, or knowing your rights, we've been to those topics tonight. We can continue with them, or you can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything you want. Well, I can tell you one thing. When you're in jail, the pillows are usually garbage. They are some of the worst that you'll ever encounter.
They're definitely not my pillows.
No, definitely not. But if there's a way to get a my pillow into a jail, to smuggle that in or bribe some guards, man, boy, would it be worth it. Because my pillow is an amazing pillow, and it's designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. It's also washable, so you can put it in your washer and your dryer. It's designed for that. It's a great pillow, and Daryl, you and I have them. We've been using them since early 2016, and if it wasn't a great pillow, I'd have stopped using it real quick. In fact, if you for some reason don't like MyPillow after you order yours at half off by using code FTL at MyPillow.com, you can send it back in within the first 60 days and you'll get your money back. That's because they stand behind their product over at MyPillow, and they stand behind it even further after that 60 days with a 10-year warranty. So to get one MyPillow at half price or two for the price of one, just go to MyPillow.com and use code FTL like Free Talk Live. That's code FTL over at MyPillow.com.
And if you don't like the pillow, it might be because you don't have the right size, because they actually do have various sizes of the pillows.
That's true. So anyway, MyPillow.com, code FTL. Let's go to Tom. He's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, listening on Kiva. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Welcome, sir.
Well, I was reading this article this morning, and this incident with this lady happened 9 months ago. And we're just kind of getting it back into the mainstream, or at least hearing about it more now.
Well, yeah, a lot of times when stories occur, the news doesn't come out until later. But anyway, what about it?
Well, from what I read about it this morning was that, you know, she was booked in the first time offense and that kind of thing. I can't imagine what is going through a judge's head to lock up a woman for even for 14 days who's pregnant. Because once you take custody of someone, you assume responsibility for their health and well-being.
That's true. That's a true statement, because normally the government isn't responsible or has no obligation to protect an individual, but that is not true when you're in their custody. So when you're in a jail, they do have a responsibility to take care of you.
Right. They assume all responsibility for your health and well-being. In the jail, the jailer, the head sheriff or whatever he is there, by him saying, putting out a statement that they acted appropriately, the woman had the baby on the floor of a jail.
That's right.
Wherein that is appropriate.
Well, they let her have the baby.
They did. Yeah. They didn't kill the baby when it came out. I guess that's, you know, a good thing.
Well, did they give the baby a prisoner number when it was born, or did they actually let her name it?
That's a good question.
Well, I mean, any birth defects or any consequences of the birth and that, you know, they're responsible. You know, these people that run these types of institutions, jails in this manner, you know, they really do need to be, excuse me, they need to be, next time the election comes around, they need to be unemployed. You need to vote them out if they're in an elected position. If not, the local people definitely need to be going to the city and town council meetings to get this squared away with it, because this is inappropriate behavior from where I sit, in my opinion, in my view, that it's inappropriate behavior. You cannot have women and people dying in your custody. That's not fair and reasonable treatment.
Yep, I'd say you're right on, man. Anything else you want to share tonight, Tom?
No, other than men need to stop driving Miatas.
What don't you like about them?
It took me a moment to understand what you said. Men need to stop driving Miatas, meaning the car. Okay, gotcha. I'm like, yes.
Mazda Miatas.
One of the Tappert brothers was always extolling the virtues of the Miata, and I believed him. It seems like a fine car. What's wrong with it?
The men just don't seem to fit in them. I'm driving across country here, delivering some structural steel, and everyone I saw, these guys were like, their heads were sticking out over the top of the window. It was like, really, stop driving that thing.
Good advice.
Thank you for your time.
Drive safe out there, Tom. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's one of those mid-mount runabout cars, right? Where the engine is not in the under the hood.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
It's a two-seater.
Right. A little sporty kind of. Yeah. Yeah, I've seen those things. You don't tend to see them very often these days, though. They're not still making them, are they?
I think they're still making them.
Okay.
The reason you don't see them up in New England is because,
everybody's driving Volvos.
No, a bunch of people drive around in Subarus because, slippery conditions. You don't want to drive a car that weighs 5 pounds.
Yep, they're still making them. You're absolutely right about that. So let's continue here. Dave is in New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Dave.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
I was checking around the other day to try to determine where I was going to go to try and do ambush interviews. And I looked on the Department of Education website at NH.gov, and they had an event listed at the New Hampshire School Administrators Association will, what it says here is, a half-day program designed to inform members of critical new legislative issues being considered in the new session of the 2017 legislature, unquote. So it's going to be a bunch of educrats meeting with a bunch of legislative politicians. But up at the top it says, quote, note, attendance is open only to eligible members of NHSAA and his or her invited guests, unquote. So it's a semi-secret meeting or a closed meeting you can't get into. You can't even go to the periphery of it and operate with a free hand because they're having it at a hotel.
So the New Hampshire School Administrators Association, this is a private organization of the top dogs in the various different schools around the state of New Hampshire.
Basically, and there's always this claim that we don't make the rules, we just serve, but they're having a whole conference that with the legislators so that they can influence legislation.
Right.
Now, this sounds, on the one hand, kind of like the thing that happened when Donald Trump met with Prime Minister Abe recently, where he went to one of his golf clubs and then went down into some room in the basement and then closed the doors, and they had the windows covered and a sign that said, no press, private event.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was at a private club,
right,
they could do that, even though it's an official state function where you've got the president of the United States meeting the prime minister of another country.
Well, okay, so this organization, first time I've heard of them, but it sounds to me very similar to the Municipal Association in New Hampshire, and I'm sure in every state they have this association.
I've actually visited their website on the About Us. The New Hampshire School Administrators Association is a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation dedicated to providing the best possible public education.
A nonprofit corporation. Now, that's interesting. I don't know if that means that they have to have any kind of open meetings or whatever, but it may or may not.
Well, if you're nonprofit, you cannot do things that are considered lobbying. If you're a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation... Now they can
It seems like they're doing it looks to me like Uber lobbying, because it's worse than lobbying, because at least when a lobbyist does stuff at the state house, I can film them. I wouldn't even be able to get close enough to any of these people without going on Holiday Inn property.
Is the municipal
film anything that...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but hang on, Dave, we can continue the discussion about how to approach this. The Municipal Association, are they a nonprofit? Because they're lobbying all the time.
I don't believe they
are. Okay, that's interesting. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. The Municipal Association is an association of the towns that get together for the purposes of lobbying for bigger government and more right. government favors and funding and things like that. And
all
it's an awful
two towns.
Group. More coming up. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us right here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. We're doing a radio show here live on Sunday night with you. It's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
You can join us online anytime you want. Just go to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we share with you, including the webcam, the archives that go back for more than a decade at this point, and much more. It's all free over at freetalklive.com. And if you care about freedom, if you if you consider yourself a libertarian or a voluntarist, maybe a liberty-loving anarchist, you really owe it to yourself to learn about New Hampshire and the amazing activist migration that is going on to this place. It's where the three of us came from. We all came from this great migration that has been going on now for more than a decade. And there are a couple of different active ones that are attracting liberty-minded people here to New Hampshire. Dave, who's on the line with us, is one of those earliest movers, Dave in New Hampshire. He's Dave from the Ridley Report at ridleyreport.com. But if you want to learn more, if you're a libertarian who may be new to the ideas of moving towards other people who are of like mind, then you really ought to check out the 101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. It's a great documentary film. It's about an hour long, and it really just goes through 101 killer reasons why New Hampshire is the destination for people who love freedom and are willing to actually do something about it. So check that out at 101reasonsfilm.com. You can watch it for free online anytime. 101reasonsfilm.com. You owe it to yourself if you care about freedom to watch that movie and then seriously consider making the move up here to join us, because the more people we have, the more of a thorn in the side of these bureaucrats and politicians, these big government people that we can be. Now, Dave, you called in tonight about an organization of bureaucrats, the New Hampshire School Administrators Association, which Daryl was doing a little digging. He found that they are a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation. That is obviously a group that is looking to promote government schools, looking to increase the funding for government schools, which are already, at least here in Keene, New Hampshire, the majority of everybody's tax bills that we're receiving. It's an insane amount of money that they're spending per pupil here, and you've been one of the best activists on that front, Dave, because you'll go to these meetings and you'll do your best to kind of ambush interview these bureaucrats and politicians as they show up, ask them tough questions that no other reporter is going to ask them. And you're calling tonight because you've been researching this meeting that they're going to be having at some hotel. Where was it again?
Actually, it was on February 6th. I took action actually earlier. I just hadn't gotten around to calling.
You hadn't gotten to that part of the story yet. All right. So.
I did send you a news release, but what I did was, instead of trying to go there myself, I just sent out a news release, and one outlet did pick up on it. You did, I think you did get a news release, but I wouldn't expect you to always cover local stuff.
I don't recall.
On your national show, but,
don't recall.
But there was a radio show, the Gerard at Large in Manchester area, that picked up on it and did two segments on it, and he's all up in arms about it. So it wasn't like nothing could be done, and I guess I could go protest outside their offices or something. There was a sign about secret meetings or semi-secret meetings, but
I don't see it. By the way, just as a quick point here, I don't see the news release. But as far as, like, let's say it hasn't happened yet. Let's say it's coming up next week. What about the idea of, because they may have a meeting like this again? What about, like,
I will.
What about renting a room in the hotel so you have a legal reason to be on the property? Rent a room for that for that night, and then try to sneak into the meeting.
Being on the property wouldn't be much of a problem. The main danger would be that if you're on the property, especially indoors, and you try to film anything that's going on, then you're not as protected from a wiretapping prosecution as you would normally be.
Right.
I feel pretty comfortable. No one's going to charge me with wiretapping for running a,
camera in the lobby of the State House. But if I'm in on a on private property, you start to get closer and closer to that line where they'll take you out for doing something like that and have you arrested.
Yeah, and then on private property, I believe you're looking at possible felony charges.
Yeah, well, if the other parties are unaware that there's a recording going on, then yeah, that would could
and
be.
And if
a
you don't have the permission of the property owner,
so just you know, going to the meeting and getting inside could be. I don't know if you can't get video, you almost it's almost
not
like
worth
whatever
it.
You did it right. didn't really happen. So
yeah,
I think the solution for the next one would be a demonstration outside the hotel or putting pressure on the hotel of some kind. Not. What's the right word? Make it so that the hotel at least doesn't want to give them a great deal, and so they're like, "Oh, do we really want to have those people at our hotel doing that thing?" That
I don't think that's going to work. They actually tried that with Keenevention. There were a couple of haters in town here in Keene. I used to throw a hotel for listeners that don't know. Here in Keene, New Hampshire, we threw a little convention 3 years in a row called Keenevention, and 1 year there was some angry man who continually called the hotel and demanded that they not serve us. And of course, we're paying customers, and he's just some a-hole on the phone. So that didn't go over real well with the hotel management. I can tell you that as far as that guy was concerned, it didn't put us in any jeopardy whatsoever, or you know, make them think twice in any way about continuing to do business with us in the future. I don't know, man. That's a tough thing. I mean, you pretty much know what they're going to say, right? At this meeting, they're going to get together. They're going to talk about all the bills that people are putting forward that are a threat to the status quo, if there are any, and you know, talk about organizing to oppose them. But I think Daryl's on to something interesting, suggesting that because they're a nonprofit, that they may not actually be able to engage in lobbying activities. But isn't lobbying, doesn't that mean getting paid to go and try to influence that? Like, if you just call a state representative and you're not being paid to do it, that's not lobbying, right?
Correct. But now they can give a educational presentation, but nowhere in that presentation can they say, we want you to pass this certain bill.
Gotcha.
No, I bet they say that.
That they can they hint they around can, it, but they can...
Whole, that's their whole reason for having this conference, I suspect.
Right, so they can hint around.
For them to avoid.
Just like, you know, NPR has underwriters, they don't have commercials, so they'll tell you all the reasons that, you know, Kellogg's Frosted Flakes are, you know, part of a good breakfast, but they cannot tell you, go buy Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. So that there cannot be that, you know, call to action, if you will.
I've heard them say, I've listened to some of the sponsorships on NPR recently, and I was listening to the wording. They'll actually say, learn more at, which is, I guess, not a call to action, but it sounds kind of like one.
They're not telling you to purchase a product.
Right. Okay.
They're telling you to learn more about the product.
But they're still telling you to do something, which still seems like a call to action. But if they can get away with it, then anybody can get away with it.
They're not. The call to action implies you go do something and money leaves your hand.
I got you. Okay, Dave. Anything else you want to share?
Well, I would appreciate. I mean, it would help to have more eyes on my calendars. I have a huge list of calendars, New Hampshire calendars, and that's where I found this. It's not. Some of them are calendars. Some of them are more like government websites and so forth. But. That's how I determine how I'm going to spend the next 3 weeks and where my ambush interviews are going to be. I go through just dozens of these calendars. And if you go to RidleyReport.com and you click About, you can go through dozens of calendars, too.
Cool. Well, that's a way that somebody can help out without actually having to move to New Hampshire, because sometimes people ask, like, what can we do to help? I can't move. I'm stuck in this job, or, you know, the wife won't go with, or the husband won't go. So there are reasons why people feel like they can't come here. One of the ways they can help, obviously, is by donating to the organizations they support, like libertylobby.info, or by going to ridleyreport.com and helping you out, Dave. These are different ways that folks on the outside of New Hampshire who care about freedom and who realize that this is the best movement, that the libertarian movement in New Hampshire is the most successful one out there. You can still help even though you're not physically here. But if you can get here, then you definitely should. Dave, thanks for the call
tonight. I got a question for Dave.
Yeah, sure.
Dave, Johnny Ray here. I wanted to ask you about your opinion.
Johnny Ray!
Hey. I wanted to know how you felt about Bitcoin just in general. Because when I first moved here.
Oh, I was something else I was going to call about. I was going to call to let you know. I don't know if you guys knew it or not, but it's pretty easy to get a Walmart gift card with Bitcoin now.
Really? What service is offering them?
If you go to gift.com,
Gift is doing
what
it,
you do is you just buy a gift.com balance, basically, and you use that balance to buy the Walmart gift card.
Very cool. So I guess that means you support Bitcoin then, to answer Johnny's question?
Oh, yeah, I think it's great. But what I just did was I turned some of my Bitcoin into Walmart gift card, and I was able to sort of make, you know, liquidate a lot more of my Bitcoin than I normally would, and I waited until I did it like when the price was at 25 or whatever, and then I did it again when it was in the upper 900s.
Dave, it's good to have you back in New Hampshire. Miss having you on the air here as a co-host. Hope to see you again soon, and thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. That's Dave Ridley from RidleyReport.com. Consistently one of the best activists on the ground here in New Hampshire over the last decade plus. 855-450-FREE. You can join us here on the radio on Free Talk Live. Hour 3 coming up. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it, and once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world, so I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here, and I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You dial toll free, you can take control of the airwaves. Bring up anything that's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. As we launch into the third hour of the program with you tonight, it's Ian,
Johnny Ray,
and Daryl.
We're going to go back into your calls and thoughts. Also, still to come, economics in one lesson, chapter 13. We didn't get to it last week. Hopefully, we'll get to it tonight. But, of course, your calls come first. And there's a pretty disturbing story, scary story, developing for folks. Some of the folks in California in the Oroville area, as a dam is expected to fail sometime tonight. Apparently was expected to fail as of as soon as 15 minutes ago. And this is pretty serious for a lot of people. And just a few hours ago, the government was saying, everything's fine, everything's fine. And then they issued another notice just a little while ago saying that, no, actually, everything's not fine. This dam's about to fail. So, or at least the overflow is somehow failing, and that may lead to a larger failure. We can talk more about that in a little bit, and how much, of course, the government is going to want to fix the problems that they created. The toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Let's go to Tom. He's in Baltimore, Maryland. Tom, go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, Ian, did you just say that the government wants to fix problems?
That they created. Yes, of course. That's what the government loves to
do. But your comment was that they're looking into ways to fix them. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
Right. So they break your leg, and then they give you a crutch. So they've fixed the problem of you not being able to walk properly, even though they created the problem to begin with.
Right. And this is the perfect segue for me to mention. I wanted to compliment Ian on his comments the other night about small government and how you qualified it with you're not necessarily for any type of government, which I think I would probably have some issues with your thinking on that. But I thought it was absolutely great that you gave people an idea that although we can't achieve necessarily a utopia, that to have the smaller government certainly would give us more access to it, more control over it.
Yes.
And a viable option. And by the way, if you remember, we were talking about solitary confinement and how that is horrible and detrimental
It's torture.
And torture. And that was the day after I had taken issue with you. And you asked me that day, well, what was it that I was upset about? And I said, you know what, Anna, honestly, I can't remember what it was. And I did remember this evening, and I think it's based on what you commented on, rather, what you stated about the smaller government that reminded me. It wasn't what you said. It was what you didn't say with, if you remember, I told you that with the wide audience that you have and a lot of younger people that look up to you and listen to what you say intently, and you've got a lot of knowledge there to give to them, and that's great. What I was upset about, Ann, is that you weren't providing, as often as I thought you should, viable options to that utopia that we probably never can achieve. So when you mentioned the other night about the smaller government, how much better it could be, although not perfect, that's where I wanted to commend you for
okay.
giving that.
Well, I mean, if you feel like there was a time at which I wasn't giving good options, I would say that is fairly rare. I mean, we frequently talk about solutions here on Free Talk Live, and my go-to solution is if you care about freedom, you should move to New Hampshire, where we're actually making a difference.
And I would say the people that...
On the quick takeaway, it's a little nihilistic at times, and I know there's a certain amount of radio shtick. And
it's a little nihilistic? Is that what you said?
Relative to the options, sometimes they're not given unless someone can actually listen to the full 3 hours.
Nihilism would be nothing matters, so don't even try.
That's my point, though, Daryl, is that when you don't give those viable options, people sometimes are left in a state of thinking, what does any of it matter if we're so hobbled by the current system and we can't achieve
anything?
But
I would say that the supporters of the current system are the ones that believe in this utopia of government can fix everything.
Just elect the right people.
When government has created all of these problems.
You're right, and I hope we can have a conversation one day about getting the grand jury back to the people. That is one option. In fact, I'm sure the both of you know this from your knowledge of government, that the grand jury occupied until some years ago a unique place in the criminal justice system. It provided really the only forum for citizens like us to have review of, input into, the criminal process. And with the criminal trial becoming increasingly rare, the grand jury often provides, at least it did provide, the only such opportunity to have that involvement.
Right, and now they're just basically yes men for the county attorney who...
Well, I've heard the claim.
Took them over.
Right.
I've heard the claim that, you know, the grand jury is this, you know, all-powerful entity that can wind up incarcerating anybody for basically anything, but I've never actually seen any sort of actual evidence to support this.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, and I'll call you back on another day to tell you about where the evidence is, but if anyone has taken to feeling good about the Ninth Circuit and their ruling relative to the Trump executive order, keep this in mind. It was the Ninth Circuit that also ruled against defendants in the United States versus Marsuki. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But Marsuki argued that the district court should have dismissed their indictments because the district court's instructions to the grand jury, which were based on model grand jury charge recommendations by administrative offices of the United States courts, misstated the constitutional role and function. The basis of that error, they argued, was the court's failure to inform the grand jury of its power to refuse to indict them, even if the government presented sufficient evidence for the indictment. Now, this goes to your...
But what did the court rule? That they didn't have an obligation?
Ninth Circuit ruled and said, you know what? No, they have no obligation to tell them that they can choose to not indict. There you go for your Ninth Circuit.
Jeez.
They're a bunch of clowns.
Yeah, I would like to. That's something that I feel like the activist movement here in New Hampshire has not yet done. And I think it's because people just don't know enough about it. And that is to do some sort of grand jury outreach, some kind of. Because, like, tomorrow morning, I'm going to go out in the middle of a blizzard because I don't know if court's been canceled.
State offices have been closed tomorrow.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you, man, I've seen that court operate in in blizzard conditions before. So, I mean, you're probably right that they're going to be closed. And if the state offices are closed, they probably will be.
All legislative committee hearings for tomorrow are canceled. Yeah. So if the legislature is closed and all of the schools are preemptively closed, I'll be surprised if the court is open.
Listen, the grand jury historically held, or actually held, the role of toppling corrupt municipal officials. That's what we talk about all the time.
Yeah, that's why they put a stop to that.
The infrastructure of cities and towns. That was the role of the grand jury, or rather, the people.
Yeah.
And it also controlled out-of-control prosecutions. All three things we talk about all the time here.
Tom, good call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. And as far as like providing a solution on everything, it would get pretty tiresome if I said, you know, every hour, every call that freedom lovers should move to New Hampshire. I mean, I pound on that pretty hard as it is, you know, usually at least once a show, I feel like.
Right.
So if I don't get it out there all the time, it's probably for the best because it'd get pretty repetitive.
Tom's comments reminded me of a quote that is trending on the Free Talk Live Reddit collection page.
The front page of freetalklive.com, you mean?
Yep, yeah. Yep. A quote from shared by Bionic Mosquito by Milo Yiannopoulos, who says, libertarians are children. Libertarians are people who have given up looking for an answer. This whole everybody do what they want is code for leave me to do what I want. It's selfish and childish. It's an admission that you've given up trying to work out what a good society would look like, how the world should be ordered, and instead just retreated back into selfishness. That's why they're so obsessed with weed, Bitcoin, and hacking.
Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're going to be a couple of the hosts are going to be at an Anarchapulco, and that guy, Milo, is supposed to be there. Why? I don't know.
I'll give you $10 to not have him on Free Talk Live.
It might be actually fun to have him on and ask him about that quote and see, you know, what he says when he's actually in front of a couple of libertarians who obviously do care about changing things for the better. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can dial on in toll-free. Take control of these airwaves here. It is the live Sunday edition. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
We've got Skype. You can Skype into the show at Skype username lrn.fm. You do need to send a contact request if you haven't done that. And then once you do that, you're easy to call us on Skype from that point forward. And you'll sound better than calling us toll-free, which is the toll-free number 855-450-FREE. Skype username is lrn.fm. Still to come here tonight, economics in one lesson. We've got chapter 13 yet to discuss, but back to the phones and to your calls and thoughts. David is in New Mexico on via Skype. Go ahead, David.
Hey, gentlemen. Excuse my voice.
What's on your mind tonight? Go ahead.
Yeah, with the several things, but the
pick
first
one.
Of all is I always pick one.
Okay.
It's interesting. You are very, very critical of the of law enforcement, correct?
I think that they need to be held accountable for their actions, for sure.
We're generally critical of all government employees.
Right. Yeah, but especially critical of the police. I mean, I'm just stating the obvious.
Yeah, because they're the enforcement wing of the government. They're the hand of the state that crushes the innocent directly.
Now, if postal employees start shooting dogs, I'll be critical of them as well.
They have a tendency to be non-productive police officers. They're not part of the productive class.
So I'd be curious to know our next mayor in Albuquerque. He is very, very supportive of the police, and
of course he
has a rate. Pardon?
Of course he is. He's the mayor.
No. Our next mayor,
next mayor,
the one that runs the radio station here in town. He has the police on his program, basically about once a week, and he's also going to give them their own program, and he is incredibly positive about the police, which is in direct contrast to the content that's on, or your viewpoints on your program. And so I'd be interested to, have you heard him on the air when he has the police on?
So you're referring to the program director / owner of Kiva, our affiliate in Albuquerque, Eddie Aragon?
Yeah.
So no, I've not heard his show with police. I, you know, obviously I've got a lot of stuff to do, and I don't spend time generally listening to other talk shows. But let me say this about Eddie: he's always been supportive toward Free Talk Live. We've been on Kiva for quite a while now. We actually used to be on the station before he took over the station, and then we were off for a while. So he brought us back on, and you know, kudos to him, because even if he is pro cop. You know, and I'm not against the police. I'm just in favor of accountability. I want to see the cops do the right thing, which is go after real criminals. I don't want them going after victimless criminals.
I'm in favor of people earning money, all people earning money the same way, where they have to convince you to give you
to
their
them.
Money.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, the police don't operate that way, but that's ultimately not their fault. They're just working within a system that is
right.
What it is.
So let me say this
to continue. I think that there are a lot of stations who would not air this show. In fact, I know for a fact some program directors have told me, you know, Ian, I like your show, but we got a lot of cops around here, and we got the police chief on, and I don't think it would go over real well. So that is actually a reason why some stations have told me that they won't put Free Talk Live on the air. We've lost affiliates over the years. Not many, but there have been a couple of affiliates where one I specifically remember in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that took us off the air because we were too critical of the police for the liking of the owner / program director there. So the fact that Eddie may have whatever opinions he has that are not affecting his decision to put Free Talk Live on the air, I think is a credit to the man and his ability to program a radio station with different opinions. Go ahead.
I agree with all of that, and so the three, you guys, myself, and Eddie are all on the same page with everything that you just said in support of the police, and the glaring thing is that on our local programming here, Eddie turns a blind eye in the terms of radio airtime to anything negative, which is a big glaring thing. If he wants to be our mayor, then he cannot ignore the negative things when it comes to the police, while supporting positive things, which we all agree are there. But he's ignoring the negative. So what about that? You know, somebody wants to be mayor, and he's ignoring the negative. You know, what of that? Especially when he's a radio broadcaster.
Well, I would say that's unfortunate. I mean, people, when they, and again, without having him here to defend himself, I don't think it's really fair. So, you know, obviously, if Eddie is out there, he's certainly welcome to call in and talk about this from his perspective. But a lot of times, and again, so without having heard what he says, I'm just going off of what you've said here. A lot of times you'll find radio talk show hosts are very deferential to the police because they want to have them on as interviewees. They, in a lot of cases, they'll have, like, you know, I think you were referencing something like this, like talk to the police chief morning, like once a month or something like that, where the cops will come in or the police chief will come in and supposedly field questions from people or talk to the talk show host, and they feel like if they're too critical of the police that they'll lose their connection, they'll lose their exclusive, they'll lose the deal, they'll lose the interviews.
They'll stop getting access to court records, they'll stop getting access to
reports. I mean, you can still go get that stuff, but...
Okay, it will no longer be sent over
It won't be given to them
email.
It won't be given
You'll
to them on a platter.
You'll have to go work for it the same way as if you were just some random person living in town.
And I know what it's like to have the police... I've literally had the police chief in Keene, New Hampshire, not the current one, but the former one, treat me like I don't exist. He would act as though I was a ghost. He did not acknowledge my presence in any way, shape, or form, and it was ridiculous. I got video of this happening on at least one occasion, and it had happened to me more than on one occasion, so it wasn't like some sort of fluke. He seemed to have some sort of policy against acknowledging me as a human being, and most people can't handle that, personally. It didn't bother me to the point beyond that this is ridiculous, and I wanted to show people how ridiculous it was. But ultimately, there's it's a tough thing for these guys working in local markets. They feel like they have to appease the government, and not just the police, but just the government at large. And they're very, very much not as critical as they could be or should be, in my opinion. And again, that's without having heard any of Eddie's show content and only going on what you have said.
Yeah, well, here's a helpful thought that comes to my mind, and the police will probably appreciate this. My experience with the cops is that they're big boys. They're tough enough to handle the constructive criticism, and you don't need to treat them with kid gloves. And you know, that's my experience with them.
That may be true, but they're not going to grant another interview if they get asked tough questions, if they get held.
I don't agree. For instance, Sean Willoughby, if you're listening, he's, you know, with the police. He's one of the main presidents. He's with the union, I believe. I think he's a big enough guy. In fact, I remember hearing him field tough questions on radio programs. He's not afraid of that. He's able to handle it quite well.
I'm glad to hear that, but ultimately that's, I think, the fear, whether it's irrational or irrational. Thank you for the call, David. I think that's ultimately the fear of these talk show hosts. And I'm not just talking about Eddie. Again, I don't know what his show's like, but I know that he has us on his station, and he certainly doesn't have to. So that I appreciate. The fact that he's willing to have a show on that's critical of the police, I think, indicates that he is at least open to having the discussion. And I would say if you want to have a discussion with him, he probably has phone lines that you could call in whenever he's on the air. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
The three most important things you can do for Free Talk Live are, one, share one episode a week on Facebook or in some other social networking site. Two, buy the things you buy online through shop.freetalklive.com. Three, give $5 a month to the AMP program. It's my firm belief that Free Talk Live's AMP program is the best use of your charitable dollar among liberty-oriented organizations. Support all the organizations you love. But make sure you give $5 a month to AMP at amp.freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
As we continue with a live Sunday edition of the program, it's an interesting and kind of scary situation developing out in Oroville, California. Butte County residents near the Oroville Reservoir, including the entire town of Oroville, which is population 15,000 people, have been ordered to evacuate this evening after the emergency spillway next to the reservoir's dam suffered a possible structural failure. Quote, there has been severe erosion of the emergency spillway and a possible structural breach that could send uncontrolled water down the stream, according to a spokesperson with the California Department of Water Resources. Residents downstream from Lake Oroville were ordered to evacuate. Counties around the reservoir, the second largest in the state, and down to Sacramento were notified about the possibility of flooding. Department of Water Resources officials issued a statement just before 4:45 that's 4:45 Pacific, that the auxiliary spillway at the dam was predicted to fail within the hour. Officials increased water releases out of the primary spillway to 100,000 cubic feet per second to relieve pressure on the emergency spillway. Traffic is bumper to bumper as residents of Oroville, Biggs, and Gridley head out slowly out of the possible flood zone.
And that emergency spillway was actually being used for the first time ever, because there was some damage to the primary channel.
That's correct. This is very serious, said a spokesman with the Department of Fire and Forestry Protection. He says, from what I understand, it's the auxiliary spillway at the possible point of collapse. I'm just trying to get through traffic. The amount of water, according to the story here at sfgate.com, gushing over the emergency spillway had begun to decrease before the emergency on Sunday, as state officials had pushed ahead with urgent measures to make room in the state's second largest reservoir. The emergency spillway, which is an open hillside that drains into the Feather River below, had never been used since the Oroville Dam was completed in 1968. The discharge that began early Saturday raised concerns over how the backup channel would hold up and whether debris would threaten fish and levees downstream.
And what is actually causing this is apparently a very heavy rainfall over the last week.
That's correct.
Where article that I have from CNBC says as of Saturday morning, the region was tracking at 68 inches of precipitation and trending higher than the 1982-83 wet season, which produced 88.5 inches of rain.
Right. So the very first time ever.
Average rainfall is 50 inches in that area.
So what had happened apparently to the primary concrete spillway was that a gigantic hole had emerged in the 3,000-foot-long channel last week. That gash forced operators to reduce the outflow, which set the stage for this weekend's unprecedented situation. Another wet weather system in what has been a soaking winter is on deck to hit Northern California Wednesday, requiring water managers to make more room in Lake Oroville for another surge. The series of Pacific storms is expected to bring even more rain, 4 more inches of it, to the Central Valley. So this is a pretty serious situation. I mean, how much damage this can do, but I imagine it's quite a bit with, thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of gallons rushing constantly down into whatever areas are below it. It seems like a pretty intense situation that's developing as we speak. Operators detected the first hole in the primary spillway Tuesday. Subsequent releases down the slide made the hole grow dramatically, exposing bedrock even beyond the 180-foot-wide channel. They stabilized the hole and stopped further erosion by slowing the outflow to 55,000 cubic feet per second, but 90,000 cubic feet of water per second continued to dump into Lake Oroville and push the reservoir over capacity on Saturday. By Sunday, the rate of inflow had fallen to 41,400 cubic feet per second. The estimated cost of repairing the concrete spillway has now soared to as much as $200 million. And so they're expecting that this spillover is going to just keep getting worse, that not only has the main spillway failed, but now the backup spillway may be failing as well.
And, we were talking earlier about how, governments create a problem and then wind up saying, we have a solution. This is one of those things to where, governments wound up creating essentially a problem, because had there never been a dam built here to create this huge, giant lake, you would not have to worry about, oh no, what happens
if
when
the dam
lake
fails.
Winds up, just rushing downstream.
Now, they're saying the dam is structurally sound. The dam itself is not going to fail, but the emergency spill measures are failing.
The emergency spillway and then the big giant crack in the front of the dam, which has caused them to, wind up lessening the amount of money going or water going through the original spillway. So there's a problem here that had they not decided we're going to destroy a bunch of land by building a dam and creating a big lake, then there would not be this issue of what happens when, all of this water just comes rushing through.
Let's talk to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just wanted to mention, it's sad to hear that. But, Californians, they're not going to be convinced until they're drowning in the ocean after it falls off. You could try to talk to them, but I just want to address that New Mexico problem. By the way, we are number second in violent crimes, I guess, per population, and number one in auto theft. And I was told that all the stolen cars are sent down to Mexico. But you know what gets me is that they're always wondering how they're going to create jobs and have economic growth. And our murder rate went up, 6,000 people per year bailed out of New Mexico. Mm-hmm. But why are they always perplexed and asking questions? Well, what are we going to do to bring businesses to New Mexico? That's what's comical about it. I mean, I'm always constantly baffled.
So you're confused about the economic difficulties that New Mexico is having?
Well, the thing is, it's very obvious when you have a violent, when your home is
burglarized, your car is stolen, your people are shooting each other, stabbing each other on the bus. Okay, who wants to live here? I can't convince you guys to come and live here, even though you get a $25 cell phone ticket. You guys are not, everybody's moved out of here. There's 1% population growth, 1%
Well, here's what's happening, Sarah. The government always likes to grow. So, you know, people like you who want the government to do things, you're part of the problem here because you're the one who's always asking the government to do more stuff. So they got to keep making themselves larger and increase taxes and regulations. And that, of course, drives people away because if you're going to get taxed and regulated, you might as well go to the places where you're taxed and regulated the least and where the economy is better. So there are better places to be than New Mexico. And so naturally, people are going to leave that place. And the government, of course, tends to, rather than learn their lesson, they tend to double down. So instead of reducing, seeing the failures and or seeing them as failures and changing their policies, making their government smaller and more efficient, they just tend to keep ramping up the taxes because, well, we don't have as many people. We need to tax the remaining people more so we can have the same revenues because we wouldn't want to have to fire some bureaucrats. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. By the way, I should mention this. We are on the air in Oroville. We have KMYC in Yuba City, California, which is right there. We got a solid signal over this affected area, and unfortunately they're on a delay broadcast, so they won't be hearing this discussion until perhaps the dam has actually, or the spillway has already failed completely. So if you're in Yuba City, if you're in Oroville and you're hearing this discussion on KMYC 1410 AM later tonight, and you want to comment on this after the fact, or maybe it'll still be holding up in the morning, I don't know, but you can always call us tomorrow night. 4 p.m. Pacific time is when we start the show. We'd love to hear from you guys on what's happening out there, because we're all the way in New Hampshire. We don't really know. It's Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. Moments remain. Enough time for you if you join us right now. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Johnny Ray.
And Daryl.
Still, if we get the chance here, Economics in One Lesson, Chapter 13, Parity Prices. That's still to come here on Free Talk Live. Of course, your calls and thoughts come first. Also, the situation in Oroville, a couple updates, courtesy of the Record Searchlight out of Redding, California. Update at 6:30 p.m. Pacific, so just about 17 minutes ago. Operators at the Oroville Dam say they are concerned that erosion on the emergency spillway threatens to undermine the concrete weir and allow large uncontrolled releases of water. For those that are just tuning in, there's this serious situation in Oroville, California, which we actually happen to have a radio station, KMYC, that broadcasts our show there on the weekends, but we're on delay broadcast, so they won't actually start airing Free Talk Live for another hour. They start at 8 p.m. Pacific. Anyway, there's an evacuation going on from the town of Oroville and surrounding low-level areas beneath the Oroville Dam, which is apparently like the tallest dam in North America. It's a big one. And yes, the dam itself, they're saying, is structurally sound. The problem is with the spillways. There was a hole that developed in the main concrete spillway. They slowed the release of water over the last several days after a lot of rain was falling. They slowed the release of water to try to not increase the erosion that was causing, or whatever it was that caused the hole in the spillway, to not continue to do as much damage as was being done. But that resulted in the auxiliary spillway being used for the first time since it was completed in 1968. Turns out it's being eroded pretty seriously now, too, by all of the water that's rushing over it.
Now, I don't know a lot about dams, but I have to wonder how, if both of the spillways have problems, they're saying that the dam itself is not in jeopardy of, you know, somehow collapsing. Because
that's what
if your
saying.
Spillways give way, then how is that not your dam falling apart?
Well, they're separate from the dam. So the dam is away from the spillways, the dam itself. So they're different portions of the whole place. It's not the same structure. So the dam is that, you know, the wall that is keeping a lot of this water in. And they're Correct. Saying that's okay. But of course, then again, 4 hours ago, they were also saying everything's fine with the spillways. And now they're saying evacuate. So you got bumper to bumper traffic as people are trying to get out of this area. Let me finish this quick update here from Reading.com. So anyway, they're saying that the concrete weir, and I had to look that up. I didn't know what a weir was, W-E-I-R. It's a barrier across a river designed to alter the flow characteristics. So they're saying that this could fail completely and result in uncontrolled releases. According to a news release from the California Department of Water Resources, doubling the flow down the damaged main spillway to 100,000 cubic feet per second has helped drop the lake level and slow the erosion. The next several hours will be crucial in determining whether the concrete structure at the head of the auxiliary spillway remains intact and prevents larger uncontrolled flows. For now, authorities say the river channels are holding the water that's being released. The design of the dam is such that both the main and emergency spillways are separate from the main dam structure. They say that the Oroville Dam itself is sound. Now, we actually have Benjamin Bartholomew, who is calling in, a longtime listener and supporter of the show. Longtime listeners will remember Benjamin from when he and his brother were arrested for protesting taxes with masks on in California, ultimately being convicted by a jury of their so-called peers, even though the information came out in the trial that they hadn't actually broken any laws, that just because the police told them to do something and they didn't, even though the police had no legitimate authority to tell them to do that thing, which was to take off the masks, if I'm remembering correctly, the jury went ahead and convicted them anyway, just because they went against what the cops wanted. I mean, it was a crazy situation. So we've had Benjamin on the show in the past, and he actually lives in the Yuba City area, which is where KMYC is located, our affiliate out there. And so I actually reached out to him on Facebook there during the last break and asked if he had a chance to come on. Are you evacuating, Benjamin? Where are you in relation to this dam?
The dam is north of us, but currently my girlfriend and I are in a car in major, major traffic that's completely jammed up trying to evacuate Yuba County. An evacuation has been called for Yuba County and Sutter County, so everybody's just trying to get out.
So your house would be in wherever the spill might possibly affect your lower level than the dam?
Right now, the failure of the spillway is affecting people in Oroville, but the failure of the spillway, it's an earthen dam, and that might cause damage to the actual dam. And if that fails, there's just going to be a ton of water coming through this area. There's a river, the Feather River, that it feeds into. And that will fill up the that, and it will put stress on the levees. And who knows if a levee will fail?
Oh, wow!
And if a levee fails, then yeah, our house would be completely underwater.
So is this like another Hurricane Katrina situation where the Army Corps of Engineers royally effed up the levees down there that were?
Well, part of the problem there, and of course here too, the lake is going to be above the height of where the town is. In New Orleans, you know, basically the vast majority of the city is below the river. So you have to look up to see the river.
They had to build these levees to hold back that water, which ultimately failed.
And the whole thing there is, you know, because New Orleans is right there where the Mississippi River runs into the Gulf. You know, those rivers naturally flood, and people decided, no, we want to live here, so we're going to prevent the river from flooding. And by doing that, all of the silt that would generally just disperse when the river flooded naturally wound up building up into the riverbed, so they just had to keep building up the levees.
So you got, I'm looking at a map here, you got Oroville, which is right next to this lake, and then south of there is Yuba City, where you are. And it's a little way south. It looks like, what, about 15, maybe 20 miles south of Oroville. You've got a river that runs down through Yuba City. So is that the concern that river running through Yuba City is just going to overflow and cause severe flooding in Yuba City as well?
There's levees that are protecting Yuba City and one protecting Marysville from that river if it overflows.
Mm-hmm.
The issue was
the regular spillway at Orville Dam. They noticed it had damage, and it was starting to erode away, just like break apart and fall apart. So they turned off the spillway to inspect it a little bit, then turned it back on because the lake was filling up with water
right.
from runoff from all the mountains and stuff. Then there's the emergency or auxiliary spillway, which is at the 900-foot level, and the dam's at 920 feet. So, you know, it goes over the auxiliary in order to prevent it from going over the dam, because
right.
then there would be erosion. It's an earthen dam, so then it would fail. Well, the auxiliary spillway hasn't had to be used in, like,
ever.
50 years or
yeah.
something like that.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's starting to fail. And so where that is, it's starting to fail. So the concern is that it will give way and release tons and tons of water. Last I heard, the Department of Water Resources in California or whatever was dropping rocks from helicopter into where the spillway is in order to slow the erosion or prevent
wow.
or whatever.
Right. So basically, the spillway is a very long. I was looking at some of the footage. Like, was it 1,700 feet or something like that? It's a very long, just sort of area that the lake can overflow over, but it's never been used before. And due to the
never.
Failure of the main spillway, which is a concrete area that they can, you know, specifically let water out of and control the rate of, there's no control over this. It's just once the water level.
It just goes over like
right.
You're filling up a bowl with water.
Right.
Something of note that's interesting is that as of like 3 hours ago, the people at the Department of Water Resources were going, oh, everything's
yeah.
fine. It's all good. Don't
right.
worry about it. So, and now all of a sudden, evacuation. Everybody get out.
Which way are you trying to get out? You're leaving Yuba City. Are you trying to head west or south?
Well, we're trying to leave Marysville and head towards Wheatland, which is where my parents live. I don't know if my dad's there right now. He might be in Lancaster, California at this point. But to go meet my mom and my cousin who's living there. And then Wheatland's actually higher up than most everywhere else. And so even if there's a big failure, it will fill up the Feather River. And we should be high up enough, but if we need to, then we'd evacuate. We keep going to like
Benjamin,
Auburn.
Benjamin, good luck. Feel free
South
to call
Reno.
Us back with an update on this tomorrow
Definitely.
Night if you get the chance, because obviously this is a pretty serious situation for folks out there. And thanks for calling tonight. Good luck getting out of there, and
Absolutely.
Good luck with that traffic. We'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
All right.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.